podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You were telling me yesterday that you guys had a good interview with AJ Preller on Friday.
We did. A lot of fun.
Which was nice. I'm glad.
Are you?
Yeah, very glad. It went well.
Did it hurt your feelings a little bit?
No, I mean, the worst thing would be if I was gone and something like this happened to you guys that happened to the show in Buffalo when they talked to the general manager of their team.
I would actually enjoy this.
Really?
As a host. I would. I think.
So this is
instead of the canned normal stuff, this is not canned.
So post NFL draft, talking Buffalo Bills on WGR 550, the Jeremy and Joe show.
Okay.
Land an interview with Bills general manager Brandon Bean, who happened also to be listening to their show before the interview. And I don't feel like that's usually the case with AJ Preller when he comes on. I don't think he's locked in necessarily to every Ben and Woods conversation that happens on the program.
I would be massively surprised if he ever listened to our show, ever.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
But apparently, Brandon Bean did at least that morning tune in for a while, knowing he was going to appear and discuss the Bills draft.
It was. I was just listening the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points. When you add all the postseason, no one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show and you got to have something to bitch about, but bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
I love that, by the way, because I think if we were sitting here and AJ Preller was like, you know, you're talking about we needed a DH. Well, we went out and got so and so. Yeah, but he's not good. Like, he's not hitting, right? I you could defend that. For these guys, I don't. Did they have a?
Well,
a strong defense?
I think the argument would be, I mean, let's go back a week when the Padres were red hot. And if we had AJ Preller on then, and we said, you know, you're not getting any production from the DH spot, you're not getting a lot of offense from the catching spot, what are you going to do about it? And AJ would say,
we're blank and blank.
We're winning games. Our average is better than any other average in the league. What the heck are you guys talking about? I mean, our job is to score runs and win games. And we've been doing that better than any other team in baseball.
Is it a fair argument, though, for those Bills hosts to say, okay, oh yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. Did we win the Super Bowl? No, we didn't. Does Josh Allen still need help in the wide receiving corps? Yeah, and that's what we were talking about. You can kind of flip it on the GM and say, where's the guarantee that you guys are going to score 30 points a game again? Like, with the guys that you have, there's no guarantee that, hey, we're bringing everybody back and you're going to get the same production. Why wouldn't you improve? I'm just putting myself in their shoes. The GM is ultimately right. He's the guy that's got to build the team. And yes, people on the radio need stuff to bitch about. There's no question. And we're good at it. We bitch all the time. So I think I would turn it around and say, all right, well, so clearly you didn't think that was a need. You did address the defense. Kudos for that. But you had an opportunity to draft X at this position, and you didn't. You know, how does Josh Allen feel about that? Doesn't he want more weapons? You guys, so you're by your logic right now, you're good offensively. You expect the exact same output because that's what you just said on our airwaves. So when you guys don't score 30 points a game, we can come back to this conversation. And I think that's a fair adult-type discussion. And did they respond? Or is that where it cuts off?
That's where it cuts off.
That's the only thing, of course, that made the made the clip.
I didn't search it out and listen to the whole interview, so I don't know how it went the rest of the way.
Yeah, Keegan says, imagine AJ telling you, I heard you guys bitching about Xander. It's the same bitching as last year. Like, yep. Indeed. You can't. He couldn't get mad at us for complaining about Xander Bogaerts' lack of production. I don't think.
Even if the team was riding high and winning games and scoring runs?
We were.
Because so were the Bills.
Yeah.
But you can always be concerned about the future. If you're a fan, being a fan means being concerned about the future.
And for baseball fans, you know when the future is? It's the next game, right? I thought about this a lot yesterday. How do you guys, as baseball fans, how do you judge players? Because I'll tell you, and I see it a lot on social media, I've been guilty of it myself. How do you judge everyday players? How they're doing this week? Is it really game to game? Is it really at bat to at bat? Because I don't know that that's entirely fair. Is a series to series? You know, oh man, we had a 3-game set. You hit.
I think it's week to week.
Is it week?
I think week to week is fair.
Okay, should it be week to week? Because I'm seeing a lot of AB to AB, and that's tough, man. That's tough. You can have three of your worst ABs ever and then hit a missile in the gap to win the game. Did you have a good game? Yeah, you did. You went 1-for-4, drove in 2 runs to win the game. That's a damn good game. As I'm trying to teach my little leaguers, don't beat yourself up because you grounded out in the first. Well, man, there's a lot of game to go.
It can't be at bat to at bat because part of the game of baseball is that chess game against the pitcher. If you're facing a starter 3 times, he gets you the first time. What did you learn from that time? You know, and how did you apply it with your next at bat? And then the pitcher's going to counter with something else. And you're trying to stay ahead, but you're not going to win every battle. You're not going to lose every battle when you go up to the plate. I think a week is not the worst. You know, certainly,
right, but
guys have good weeks and bad seasons.
Be honest with yourself, though. Let's all be honest with ourselves. You guys in the listening audience as well. Do you really go week to week? Do you really say, you know, they start a series on Monday? And then on Sunday, you go, man, that was one heck of a week for Manny Machado. No, you're watching the game. Xander hits him a double play in the first inning, and you go right to Twitter and be like, get this dude off my team. Get him off my team. I've done it. We've all done it, right? Gavin Sheets was 0-for-2 the other day. I said, Sheets, pumpkin. Then I think he got a knock. And believe me.
Yeah, that one knock doesn't change
it doesn't.
The last
It doesn't
3 weeks
change the last week.
Though.
It doesn't. It really
lack
doesn't.
Of production.
But, you know, you put that knock together. He comes around to score. Then he gets another knock, and hey, that last week of production, you don't really care because you won today's game. I really feel like baseball is such a hard game to go game to game by, but I feel like we all do it, and I feel like we're all guilty of it.
So what are the Padres in their last, they're like 3-8 in their last 11?
11, yeah. Something like
if
that.
If they were
6-5,
7, and whatever, like, would we still be bitching about a lot of the things that we're bitching about?
I think so.
Or does the winning put a Band-Aid on it?
Well, if you're seven and five in your last 12 with this current iteration of the team with 40% of it injured, you're elated. You're elated at 7-5.
Of course.
My message would be, what are we bitching about,
and
guys?
They,
we are
and
keeping
they could
afloat. Have
gone 7-5. If they had the same offensive production but just happened to come through with the runners in scoring position a few times as opposed to you know, leaving those guys out there,
yeah.
They could have won 2 or 3 of those games, and we would be really dealing with the exact same problems, the exact same lineup deficiencies and injuries, but none of us would be unhappy because we'd all say, they've done a really good job holding their own, you know, during this stretch.
There's no doubt.
If they had just found a way to win two really more games that they did not win. The 1-0 loss, you know, one of those 4-3-2, 4-2 games, if they had just come up with a couple of more hits, none of us would be unhappy, but they didn't. So now we all feel like there's major
issues
need to be addressed.
Yeah, our buddy David Jay, just one of the smartest guys in now, says that's absolutely the biggest difference between fans and people who are paid to evaluate baseball players and teams is that they cannot go in and evaluate a guy game to game. I think back to inside the clubhouse, Craig Breslow, the GM of the Red Sox, addressing the team in spring training for the first time. And he goes, look, I was a player. I don't want to be judged pitch to pitch. I didn't want to be judged even outing to outing, right? Like, judge me on the entirety. We're not going to be watching every single AB. We have our numbers and our metrics, but We also know there's more that goes into it. And I do feel like we as fans, myself included, man, I'm telling you, if we get up tonight and Tatis hits a double and Luis Arraez, well, if he hits a single, he's scoring. So it's 1-0. Tati hits a single. Arraez hits a single. Manny walks. Base is loaded. Xander Bogaerts comes up and he hits into a 1-2-3 double play. I would probably go to Twitter and be like, dude, you got to get this guy out of the cleanup. You got to figure out a new spot. You got to do something instead of waiting for the game to materialize. And I think that's pretty standard for
fans. I
really
don't think I don't feel like I overreact or react week to, you know, game to game, at bat to at bat with the everyday players. I will say, though, totally different side of the spectrum. I get it. With pitchers, I'm like start to start.
Start to start. Yeah. How did you do in this start? And I think
which
that's
kind of like week to week.
That's a fair way to evaluate a starting pitcher.
But like, I promise you, like, Randy Vasquez has a bad start. I'm like, what are we doing now? Is this all we got? This is the best we have? And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, he had like four really quality starts leading up to that one stinker or whatever it is.
David says, last May, 99.9% of our fan base didn't just want Higashioka released. They wanted him banished to an ice floe in the North Atlantic. I remember it well. I remember it well. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I think that can be said for Xander Bogaerts. We do have a little bit of a body of work since he's been here. There's been a decline. And not off to the best start this season, not really hitting the ball hard like he was, even at the very, very beginning of the season. So I hope he can turn it around. He's big for us. He's big for us.
I think when it comes to the time frame of evaluation, like Major League Baseball names a player of the week.
Yeah.
Now, is that a significant award? No. But it's at least enough time that you can judge who's hot, who's really in a good stretch. They don't name a player of the day in Major League Baseball because that is too small. Even if you went 4-for-4 with a great night, it doesn't mean you're hot. You can have a week where you go 0-for-3, 0-for-3, 0-for-4, 4-for-4, 0-for-3, 0-for-4. Did you have a good week? Your numbers are probably okay at the end of the week. You hit like 240 with 5 RBIs because you had one great day. Are you having a good week or not?
Didn't have another hit the rest of the week. What would his week look like with a 4 home run game?
I'm telling you though, you hit 4 bombs in a week. That's
nobody's complaining.
About that. He was terrible before that.
But you do name a player of the week, so I feel like it's fair to at least evaluate a guy based on what his last week's numbers are. But certainly not. You know, one at bat. It's certainly not one game.
I'm trying.
You can't really say anything.
I challenge us as a fan base and myself included. Let's maybe try to be a little more. Well, do whatever you want, but I'm going to challenge myself to be. All right, let's. First at bat didn't go the way we wanted. I'm going to try to take the Little League approach with them. Yeah. Honestly,
I would venture a guess that most players of the week in Major League Baseball had an offer somewhere during that week.
Oh, guaranteed. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't all have 7-game hitting streaks the entire week.
Yeah.
They probably had at least one bad game and they were still the best player in baseball that week.
That's the nature of that game, man.
All right. We've got, Don't Do This is coming up in our next segment. I saw this story that kind of scared me a little bit based on something that happened. I don't know if you saw this, to John Elway's agent.
No.
So it scared me personally a little bit, and I will tell you about it and Don't Do This. Coming up next, we got traffic as well. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about Trust and Will. Trust and Will is where we went during the holidays when we finally, you know, after so many years of not having documents, feeling like I just don't want to get into it. Why would I spend the time to try to, you know, something that I hopefully don't need for 30 years? But then I realized you just don't know. You do not know what the future holds. And why not just get it done when it's so easy to get it done at trustandwill.com?
Yeah, we had a couple tier ones back to back in the chat yesterday. I remember Brett was one of them. Brett said, guys, thank you so much. Went in, got it done, took 30 minutes, just like you said it would. And now I feel so much better. Got the documents on the way. Going to throw them in the desk like you guys recommended. And then my family knows where they are. If anything happens, I'm covered. So go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN. FAN, when you check out, you'll get 20% off of the entire deal, and you'll get your estate documents shipped to you. Make sure you get that trust to keep your family out of probate court. But trustandwill.com, use the code FAN when you check out. You'll be glad you did.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com. This is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. We were just talking about Trust and Will and how you never know what the future may hold. This story scared me yesterday. It involves John Elway's longtime agent business partner. His name's Jeff Spurbeck. And Jeff suffered a horrific accident at the golf course over the weekend in La Quinta.
Smoked by a ball?
No, he was playing at the Madison Club, and he did something I've done 100 times at least. Hopped on the back of the cart, probably just riding from like one hole to the other.
Just down like, you know, 50 feet.
Yeah, just you know, just go up a hill, you know, just give me a little quick lift. You know, there's already two people in the seats, so just hop on the back.
Ooh.
Something happened. I don't know if he hit a bump or something. Fell off the back.
Oh, boy.
Hit his head. His wife and at least one other person quickly noticed he was down, turned around. It was clear something was very wrong. They called for help. Spurbeck was rushed to Desert Regional Medical Center. He is in a coma.
Oh,
and while he's not passed away, doctors have informed his family there's no hope he's going to recover.
Oh, you are kidding me.
He's being kept on life support while they prepare to harvest his organs for donation. And I thought about that and go, I mean, I try very hard, like, just secure myself really well when I do that, because it feels pretty safe. You know?
Did it last time we played.
I do it. But now you think about it. And I did read somewhere that injuries on the golf course, that the majority of golf course related injuries are related to cart accidents.
Yeah, if you've ever ridden with me, you know that's the truth.
Not slip and falls, not, you know, swings where you wrench a muscle or anything like that. It's cart accidents by a wide margin that cause most injuries on the golf course.
Mm. I mean, that is like the worst. Your dad goes out to play a round of golf, jumps on the back of a golf cart, falls off. He's not going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that's horrific. That's a horrific story.
Just
thanks
a
for that.
Terrible story.
Thank you. You talked about harvesting his organs and
good vibes on a Tuesday.
Amazing vibes.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Just that one just kind of hit home to me.
Well, listen, for you, you want to walk, walk. Take your medicine. You don't like to spend money on carts, so I can see you actually doing that the entire round, just riding on the back.
No, I like to walk. I really do. But there's like one spot where there's a long, like, walk between. And it's not so much that I don't want to walk, it's that I don't want to hold everybody up by being the last one to get there because I have to walk the long way. So, you know, you go through like a tunnel or something, like you've got that long
stretch.
Where you hop on the cart and you go, okay.
I would rather you sit on my lap next time.
Okay, maybe I'll do that.
Do that next time. This is, I mean, this is a serious story, but it's nowhere near as serious as that one. I don't know if you guys saw the video over the weekend. You know that Puka Nacua's brother plays football for the Michigan Panthers in the UFL. I did not know this until I saw him reach up into the stands and slap the fire out of a fan who was leaning down talking trash to him. And the league is looking into it. I mean, Ben, he leans down over and he's blah, 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 blah. And Samson Nacua just is standing there nodding, yeah, yeah, yeah. And just whack, as hard as he can, slaps this dude. Credit to this guy. Guy barely flinched. I mean, it was a good, hard shot. And he barely flinched. So they are now, obviously the league is looking into it because that can't go unpunished in the league. But an even bigger problem is the St. Louis police are also looking into it, Ben, and could potentially...
Is the guy upset about it?
I think he's pressing charges. I think they're conducting a thorough investigation into the incident. We're working to obtain video from the dome at American Center. May have captured what led up to the encounter.
Is it still wrong if the guy decides, you know what, I was being a jerk.
Yeah,
and, you
know, I deserved that.
I deserved to get that slap. And he, you know, would, if you were the league and the fan had that attitude, if he wasn't pressing charges and The fan simply said, you know what? I deserve that.
I'll wear it.
I deserve that. Would you still discipline Samson Nakua?
Yeah, probably for a game.
You can't just let everybody, all right, well, the guy's mouthing off. You just go ahead and
just get to punch
teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're a player, obviously. But a fan can also say, you know what? I probably earned that.
Yeah,
you know?
Had a few too many.
Yeah.
Probably got a little loose with the lips and probably deserved that. So he got him good. I mean, really, really good.
Hmm.
His head was hanging over. He was in his face, and he just slapped him. So we'll see. We'll see if any, will that put a huge damper in the ratings of the UFL? I wonder. That's the biggest problem.
I have not watched one UFL game.
Didn't even know it was a league.
You didn't know it was a league?
Not really.
Right. And then we have a special guest to deliver our doo-doo this for today.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
I mean, I wouldn't call him a guest. He works on the show.
He does, he doesn't usually pipe in. It's usually back and forth on the doo-doo this with the,
I wonder if,
one of us.
If Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson used to call Neil Peart a guest. Hey, our guest is going to do a nice drum solo. We're going to walk off.
We know he's here every single day with us.
Just crushing.
No matter where we're at.
He's crushing the drum.
Delivering for us night after night.
Very special guest, Neil Peart, everybody.
We decided to let him have his little fun time.
He's in the band.
He's going to play rock star for a few minutes.
Never mind.
Don't do this. We'll be just delivered by regular old Paul. He's not special at all. Does that make you feel better?
Yes.
A little bit. Not even a little bit special.
Just
he's just...
bit.
Paul.
Just part of the show.
Just Paul Reindl here for doo-doo this. Go ahead, Just Paul.
Thanks, Woodsy. We will.
Special guest. Please put that in the Reindl report. Special guest, Paul Reindl. That's the greatest thing ever. Can we get special guest Paul Reindl shirts made up ASAP?
What a jerk. Okay, so this was actually a little bit more controversial than I thought it was based on some of the feedback, but the Chicago White Sox unveiled their new City Connects. I kind of already forgot that they had the black jerseys with the white pinstripes that said South Side across.
Loved those.
Those were great. So how do they follow it up? Well, they followed it up with a collaboration with the Chicago Bulls. And I think the uniforms, I think it's a no-brainer. I think they're awesome. I think they scream Chicago sports.
Well, because they're the most
looks
successful
like the White Sox,
franchise.
It looks like the Bulls. It's unbelievable.
I think they're really cool, too.
I think
they really knocked
it out of the park.
Well, the owner owns both teams.
Yeah. Jerry Reinsdorf
owns both.
Yep. The White Sox, their chief marketing officer, one of the challenges we had coming out of our first Southside City Connect jersey was how could you match it or top it?
Yeah, because they were really good.
One of the thoughts that was pushed right away was that no team has ever done a collaboration between Major League Baseball and an NBA team. In a market like Chicago with a history of both teams, how great would it be to be able to collaborate with our partners in the Bulls along with Nike and Fanatics? And I think they crushed it.
I really do, too.
I agree. I think they look really sharp.
Like, if I was a White Sox fan, you don't have much. You really don't have much to be excited about until now. Then you go, all right, at least our City Connects look pretty sharp.
Now, will the Chicago Bulls be wearing some, like, alternate White Sox jerseys?
Because they do alternates in the NBA.
Because I would not, if I was a Bulls player, I don't think I'd want to be putting on White Sox colors at this point.
That's fair. I mean, the colors are cool. Black and white's always a good look.
Yeah, the colors are cool, but the team has been so bad lately that this isn't the time to lean into it. Then again, the Chicago Bulls haven't been particularly good recently. They're definitely drawing hard still on the Jordan years of the Bulls to make think of these uniforms.
Drawing on the Jordan years, dude, is a very profitable, obviously, like my kids, 7 and 4, they wear Jordan stuff every single day. Bo has a poster of Michael Jordan on his wall. Bo has never seen him play other than some Last Dance highlights. Like, Michael Jordan, still a massive, massive icon. The more you can incorporate that into your franchise, I think that's a good thing for everybody. These look so sharp. They look so sharp. I'm excited to see what the pods do, man. I really am. It's these City Connects.
This is the last year
of the mint. This is the last year of mint and...
pink
and blue and all that. Yeah.
So next year the Padres will unveil their second iteration of City Connects. Mm-hmm.
The fact that I'll even lose a little bit of sleep about it is weird at 50 years right. old when they come out. I will. I'll be a nervous wreck. Really grown to love the City Connects that we have now. So I hope they. It's going to be tough to top those, in my opinion.
One note on the Bulls White Sox collaboration. I was talking to a buddy who knows somebody in the City Connect department of Nike.
Inside info?
A little inside info. The White Sox in Major League Baseball, they desperately wanted, so those are Nike uniforms. They desperately wanted for these particular City Connect jerseys for the White Sox to have the Jordan brand, the Jordan logo on the chest instead of the Nike swoosh, the Jumpman that everybody knows, that iconic logo. They're like, this is a no-brainer. But Michael Jordan wouldn't return Jerry Reinsdorf's calls.
Ooh.
So they just had to go with the old Nike swoosh.
Man.
That's just what I heard. That's what I heard.
That's good info.
The Aztecs wear Jumpman.
They do.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Thank you, Paulie. Great job.
And that is
thanks for letting me be here.
You're welcome.
Special guest, Paul Reindel.
Just a regular old member.
Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Man, you really did. You really are old school radio. You like to keep your producer down. Yeah, like that's the old school radio.
How's calling someone special keep him down?
Well, you called him a guest.
Trying to elevate him up to higher status. Well, he's not just regular old Paul. He's special guest.
He's not a guest, though.
Everyone should be treated like a guest.
Why don't you just treat me normal?
Just treat him like he's
call him Woodsy. Just call me Paul.
Paulie. Yeah, Paulie's going to tell us about it today. Man, you studied under, who'd you study under?
Mr. Reindel, your table is ready.
Who did you study under in this business?
You got a problem.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense to me. Paulie, would you grab me a coffee while I tell all of the people here about Loan? I'll just be Ben for a minute. I'm going to tell everybody about Loan Project. Paulie, grab me a coffee, two sugars, lots of cream, please. If you're a homeowner right now, interest rates have plummeted. Time to call Loan Pronto. If you're looking to get cash out of your home's equity, refinance out of a high rate, or do a home improvement project, Loan Pronto can make it happen in a matter of days. Take advantage of this opportunity. Get tens or even hundreds of thousands out of your home's equity. Pay off all your credit cards. Pay off your car loans. Average homeowner cutting their monthly bills by $1,000. You can go to loanpronto.com for more info. You did not expect to end up in this situation, but it happens, man. Now you can zero out your credit cards, pay off your car loans, all of that, the financial freedom that you deserve. So call Loan Pronto today, 619-207-4336, or go to loanpronto.com. Once again, 619-207-4336 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lenders, NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org. Just saw a clip of AC/DC. If you're in the chat, you don't know that we're playing AC/DC, Highway to Hell, right now. Saw a clip of them over the weekend, Benny. They were playing in, I believe, in L.A., it's tough.
Not quite the same as they used to be.
The music sounded good. You can't sing that way for 40 years. I mean, it was tough. Maybe we'll pull a clip for you. It wasn't great. I felt bad. But people were into it, you know.
You can always love AC/DC for the Trevor Hoffman.
Of course. Connection. Of course. But man, it sounded a little bit rough, man. Oh, they were in Vegas. Yeah, they were it was rough. He's running out of breath, you know. I believe it was that song, too, and it just kind of made me sad, man. It sucks getting old. It's harder.
Well, that's sobering.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Maybe we need some good news. Anyone want some good news?
Yeah.
For the San Diego Padres?
Sure.
Let's see. I got a little bit for you. Did you see that Leo DeVries was named Midwest League Player of the Week yesterday?
Bring him up.
He has hit 350. With a double, two triples, two homers, eight runs batted in, two walks, a stolen base. Most of that when he hit for the cycle last Tuesday. I assume you guys talked about that a little bit on Wednesday.
We did.
He is by far, though, and I don't know the exact age discrepancy, but every time I see it, he's always listed as by far the youngest player in high A ball this year. Now, in any league, this is the Midwest League, but in any league at that level, so he's at Fort Wayne, which is the Padres, you know, upper single-A affiliate. Everybody is much older than him at that level. And he's already being named Player of the Week. He's got top five in, you know, slugging percentage, and he is definitely more than holding his own at the high single A level at the age of 18, which is, needless to say, incredibly encouraging. While obviously Ethan Salas has had a disappointing start to the season that has involved some back injuries,
yep.
Leo DeVries has been everything the Padres could have hoped for at this point. And perhaps if he continues to do this, could even see a promotion to double A by the end of the year. And once you get to double A, you're then the conversation for a promotion to the big leagues. I do not think we will see Leo DeVries this year in the San Diego Padres uniform. But if he continues this path, there's a very good chance we see him next year at some point.
He is right now in high A ball. He's hitting .258. His OBP is .324. He's slugging .530, and his OPS is .855 right now. He has struck out 15 times in 66 ABs. Probably wants to get that number down a little bit. But yeah, man, I mean, he is he's got all of what you're looking for. I'm not sure how his I'm going to look at his fielding numbers. And I don't know really how to read these. His fielding percentage is .897. That's not great as a shortstop.
Oh, there's definitely still things to work on.
He's kicking it around a little bit, which, by the way, everybody does when they're down there in their development. That's why, you know, again, I see really serious takes, really serious people that we know saying, give him, you know, bring him up. Can't be any worse. Guys, I don't think that any of us really comprehend the difference of an A-ball game and a Major League Baseball game. The pitching is 10 times better. The hitters are 10 times better. If you're kicking it around that much in A-ball, Benny, I can't even imagine what it would look like out of Petco Park. He's not ready.
Get to Double-A, at least occasionally, you're facing guys who might be big leaguers in a week because they do call up pitchers from there. But in Single-A, you're really not facing any Major League pitching.
Yeah.
And yeah, that fielding percentage tells you that he would be a liability right now on the big league level.
No question.
He's just not ready, and you know, I'm not calling for any fast track to the big leagues. I'm just saying this is very promising.
Well, I think what we're saying is you keep it up. Keep it up, kid. You keep doing that, keep winning these player of the week, keep establishing yourself. He's going to, you know, he is our number one prospect, is he not? Right now, you keep doing that, man, and then a couple years from now, you're going to be the starting shortstop of the San Diego Padres at probably 20 years old, which will be a whole new ball of problems for him to deal with, Benny. So, but certainly glad he's in our organization. Certainly glad he's gotten off to a good start. A little bit concerned about Ethan Salas and being banged up a little bit, but I was talking to some guys over the weekend about Ethan Salas, and I'm telling you, and it's been said by so many people. You want to talk, like, that kid's glove plays tonight. Tonight. Put him in gear. He can go catch Nick Pivetta tonight. And you wouldn't miss a beat. It's the offensive side of the ball that you're just, but then again, we're not getting much offense from the catchers now.
That's why I actually feel like Ethan Salas is
he's more of a fast track.
There's at least some chance that you might see him in a few months, simply because if there's no drop-off, if you're not getting any offense from your catchers, and you think that defensively he's going to be more than fine, then you could consider that.
Yeah, not tonight, as David points out. He's on the IL. But next week, the glove would play at Petco Park next week. His defense is that special.
Does the chance of ruining his career by bringing him up, rushing him, bringing him up too early, outweigh the positives of being around the major league clubhouse and learning the ropes it's a delicate balance there.
I feel like it's more of a delicate balance for a guy like Leo Dallas DeVries, who the catching position is one that is just so difficult. It's difficult. It's why you very rarely see the full package, the elite defensive catcher that can also mash. There's just not very many of those guys anymore. The days of Johnny Bench are They're kind of gone, you know, really, at this point. There's a couple of guys that stand out in the big leagues. But honestly, man, like, if you already don't get offensive production from your catchers and you can have one of the best young catchers with an elite pop time, an elite arm that still doesn't hit, are you hindering his development or is he helping you? Is he helping you with a huge part of the game in defense? So I don't know, man, like, I think I'm more likely to bring up a younger catcher that's ready, that's not hitting, than I would be a younger shortstop that's not fielding.
I can see a scenario where I don't know that you're really hurting him by giving him more looks at major league batters, even if he pitchers, even if he struggles for a couple years. If he's providing value defensively, he may not. I mean, if they bring him up, you know, even to start next year, 19 years old at the beginning of the year,
the Pudge Rodriguez track.
And he's the catcher for the Padres, and he doesn't hit for the first 3 years. He may not hit until he's 23 or 24.
Yeah.
And he could still have a really good offensive career, and it may just take him a while to find it. But it actually may be better to try to find it with the major league hitting coaches and, you know, seeing major league hitting, as long as you don't wreck his confidence.
Yeah, right.
And
you say, hey, buddy, you're here to catch.
And I don't think you're going to wreck a guy's confidence by telling him, yeah, we think you're a big leaguer.
Yes.
And we don't care if you struggle offensively.
We're expecting you to.
Whatever you give us is an added bonus, and we're going to work on it, and eventually you're going to get there. Don't feel any pressure right now that you have to carry this team offensively. We just want you to come catch. I don't think that would wreck someone's confidence to do that.
I just think the catching position is so special, and it's so difficult, again, to find the whole package. It's almost like, hey, man, we got half the package. We got to be happy with half the package and hope it develops into the whole package. Because, again, the defense, I think, plays. I've heard that from so many people that know a lot more about catching than I do. And, I mean, I could watch him do defensive drills all day. It's one of the most fun parts about going out to spring training. He is an elite catcher. He's got an elite arm. Can he hit enough to stay at the big league level? I don't know, but I know he can catch. I know he can catch at that level. So I would expect to see him up, obviously. He's a little bit older than DeVries, but not by much, right? A couple of years?
Not even a year.
Not even a year older?
Yeah, I think it's just a little less than a year.
Yeah.
I just saw the smartest take on the Padres' recent struggles.
And let me guess who it's by.
No shocker here, but it's from the Letters to AJ Substack. And I want to get into some of his arguments that I think make a ton of sense, and why he's not particularly worried right now about the long-term lineup for the San Diego Padres. And we'll do that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I think there's a thought, and tell me if you guys feel the same way, that when the Padres were playing so well and looking so good offensively, that even with three regulars out, they're going to struggle a little more, but they're not going to go from one of the best teams in baseball to one of the worst immediately, right? Why would it have such a huge impact to lose three guys, you know, in your lineup? Yes, it's going to have an impact, but okay, so now they're just a middling team. No, they've been much worse than that, and
well below middling
over the last 10 days plus. And the argument that Letters to AJ makes, which makes a ton of sense right here, he calls it the compounding effect of injuries. It's not simply losing the production of Jackson Merrill, which is a blow, losing Jay Cronenworth, losing Jason Hayward, then losing Luis Arraez. All blows in and of themselves. But the chain reaction, he says, is really where the Padres have been hurt, because you actually had some of your lower lineup players in pretty good platoon situations.
Yes.
You kept putting them out in good spots where they had a chance to be successful. Gavin Sheets only was facing righties, you know, bottom of the lineup. He was in a good spot to be successful. When you had, Jake in there, you had the platoon of Brandon Lockridge and Jason Hayward going in there was pretty successful. Even when Tyler Wade was brought up, you could put him at second base and you'd have Lockridge out in center. Now Wade has to play center field. And every time you have another injury, you're putting, now Oscar Gonzalez has to take more at-bats than he should be taking. And he's been struggling more. Every single guy is being asked to do more uncomfortable things, which is hurting the production. Not only are you losing the production of the guys who are hurt, but you're getting worse production from the guys that have to go in there, because they're all put in less favorable circumstances because of sheer necessity of usage right now. And that's what's really getting the Padres.
Oh, it's the total chain reaction. Every reaction has another opposite reaction. It has been and again, the depth getting hurt, forcing the lower depth to have to play every single day. Yeah, that's not the best position for those guys to be in. You know, we've known this. I like the way he's very eloquent as he explains it. And again, you know, the pitching on this team has been so good, and he points out, you know, the 1-2-3 of King, Cease, and Pivetta is an elite 1-2-3. Randy Vasquez, Kyle Hart, lone weak spots on the pitching side of things. Kyle is down right now. I like the guys that they brought up, the David Morgans of the world. We'll see what he's got to offer. I would imagine going to get some action here pretty soon. The Ryan Burgards. Our bullpen is elite. It's the best in baseball. We are decent at preventing runs. We just have to score more. We have to figure out a way to score more. And it does feel like you are swimming, paddling upstream when you have so many guys essentially out of position. Yes, they may be. Gavin Sheets is a DH, but what happens? He's got to play first base every day. Can't play first base. Butcher at first base. You know, Tyler Wade's done okay in center field, but he's not a center fielder. He needs to be spelling a guy, getting a late AB, dropping down a bunt, playing to their strengths. We're taking all of the strengths and hoping that they're going to do it for four ABs, eight ABs, 12 ABs in a row, 16 ABs in a row. It's not good. It's
yeah,
tough.
Gavin Sheets hasn't turned into a pumpkin. He simply was, he was always a pumpkin. They were just, they were just adding some nice spices and sugar, and yeah, it tasted like pumpkin pie for a while because they were using him properly. Now they're just throwing a bunch of raw pumpkin out there, and it's gross. You know? It's not what you want to eat. You have to decorate it up a little bit. That's what good teams do with their lower lineup players. They use them sparingly
in the proper positions,
and by doing so, they actually get production from those guys. And that's what the Padres were doing the first, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of the season. They were using those guys in a sparing, proper way, and they were actually getting stuff from all those guys. Now they're forced to use them in ways that they should never have been using them, and of course the results are ugly, really ugly at the bottom of the lineup. You know, and then it didn't help that both Manny and Xander have kind of gone into slumps at the same time with all of those guys, but even if they had been hitting, I don't think it would have completely changed the tenor of the Padres offense, because you'd still have five or six lineup holes at the bottom of the order.
Absolute black holes at the if Manny and Xander were hitting from four
even
to nine.
Even if they were hitting, you could put them 1-2-3 with Tatis, and you'd still only have three chances to score every game.
That's right.
Because you really do have nothing there in the bottom two-thirds of your order at the moment, because these guys are all out of position, out of the proper usage, not facing the right platoon matchups anymore, and you shouldn't expect anything from them.
Yeah, it's a good point here, man. Padres are going to lose 4-2 in the last game, swept at home despite allowing only 9 runs across the 3 games. And again, that's pretty good run prevention. It is. I mean, you tell me, hey man, three runs
a game. You're the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
If you allowed only 3 runs a game, you would by far have the best record in baseball at the end of the season, even if you had a mediocre offense.
Yeah, and he's pretty critical of the strategy that Mike Schilt employed in a couple of instances. And again, we talked about the Jose Iglesias bunt. I don't know if that was a Schilty call or an Iglesias call, but, you know, Iglesias I trust more to swing away than I do a Tyler Wade or a Martin Maldonado or an Elias Diaz in that particular instance. But yeah, man, I it's hard to question strategy, because when you want to have elite strategy, Ben, you have to have the right pieces. And I don't know that Schilty has the right pieces. I'm not going to alibi it for him. You know, he's got to do the best job that he can with what he's been given. And, you know, I can't say with any certainty that he didn't do that this weekend, but letters to AJ lays out a couple of instances that, you know, looking back, certainly maybe things could have been done differently. But as Schilty himself says, second-guessing is the best part of baseball. And nobody does it better than Ben and Woods and our pal letters to AJ.
And when you're managing for the long haul, I don't know if it's a great message to send, like, hey, we can't bunt this guy because we have no confidence in either
in
of
the
you
next guys.
Do anything coming up. I mean, that's a pretty clear message to those guys that we have no faith in your ability whatsoever.
Letting a guy swing away is never the wrong thing. Letting a guy swing away is with a runner on first.
You can always make the argument that
no,
especially
man,
when you need 2 runs to win.
Right? Yeah, 2 runs to win it. Nah, I don't want to give away outs. You know, I don't. So we'll see, man. We'll see. You know, we're obviously fingers crossed for some announcements today on who's going to be coming back. But yeah, the rumor is Arraez and Hayward. So hopefully that holds true.
Guess what? The best of San Diego media nominations are out.
Oh yes.
How did we do?
I don't get too excited.
Oh, all right. We'll get to that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.